The black Bronco shot through the storm. Its tires kicked up mud and water and grit as it raced along the gravel road. Rain pelted the windshield faster than the wipers could clear it. As the truck charged along at 60 miles an hour, the back doors opened and two armed men climbed out and into the rain, one on each side. The men stood on the running boards and held onto the doorframe with gloved hands. Their eyes were protected from the mud and flying rocks and water by large goggles, but their black Nomex suits and the submachine guns around their necks were wet and mud-splattered in moments, along with the rest of their gear. Helmets with integrated headsets, ballistic protection on their chests and backs, knee and elbow pads and magazine pouches. Everything was soaked and caked with mud by the time the Bronco closed on a cabin in the center of a rain-swept pasture. The vehicle decelerated quickly, skidding to a stop just 20 feet from the front door. The two men on the running boards leapt off and raced toward the building, their weapons scanning the trees all around, searching for any targets. The driver of the Bronco joined soon after. Just like the others, he too carried an H&K submachine gun with a fat silencer on the end of the barrel. The three operators formed in a tight stack near the entrance, and the man in front reached forward and tried the door latch. It was locked. The man in the back of the stack, the driver, stepped forward now without a word. He let his H&K drop free on his chest, and he reached behind his back and pulled a pistol-grip shotgun from his pack. The weapon was loaded with disintegrator breaching rounds, 3-inch magnum shells with 50-gram projectiles made of a steel powder bound by plastic. The operator placed the barrel of the shotgun 6 inches from the top hinge of the door, and he fired a disintegrator directly into the hinge. With an enormous boom and a wide blast of flame, the steel powder load slammed into the wood, blowing the hinge from the door frame. He fired a second round into the lower hinge, then he kicked the door, which fell into the room beyond. The shotgunner stepped to the side, and the two men holding automatic weapons rushed into the dark room, guns up and weapon lights burning arcs in the black. The driver restowed his shotgun, grabbed his HK, and joined up with the others in the room. Each man had a sector to clear and did so quickly and efficiently. In 3 seconds, they began moving toward a hallway that led to the rear of the cabin. 2 open doorways were in front of them now, one on each side of the hall, with a closed door down at the end. The first and second men in the train peeled away. Number 1 went left through the doorway, and number 2 went into the room on the right. Both men found targets and fired. Suppressed rounds thumped loudly in the confined space of the cabin. While the first 2 men were engaging in the rooms, the lone man still in the hallway kept his weapon trained on the door ahead, knowing full well he was exposed behind if anyone entered the cabin from the outside. Quickly, the 2 men returned to the hallway, aimed their guns forward, and the man at the rear turned around to check behind them. A second later, they moved on to the closed door. They stacked up again, and the first man quietly checked the latch. It was unlocked, so he paused only long enough to lower his body a few inches while his mates did the same. Then the 3 men moved in as a team, and the lights under the 3 guns swept their sectors. They found their precious cargo in the center of the unlit space. 65-year-old John Clark sat in a chair, his hands in his lap, squinting straight into the bright lights. Inches from him on both his left and his right, the tactical lights illuminated 2 figures standing, and a partial face of a 3rd man was just visible behind Clark's own head. The 3 gunmen in the doorway, Domingo Chavez, Sam Driscoll, and Dominic Caruso, all fired simultaneously. Short bursts from their weapons cracked in the room. Flashes erupted from their muzzles, and the scent of gun smoke replaced the dank smell of mold in the cabin. John Clark did not move, did not even blink, as the bullets slammed into the 3 figures around him. Holes appeared in the foreheads of the targets, but the figures did not fall. They were wooden stands, upon which photorealistic images of armed men had been attached. Quickly, the tactical lights scanned the rest of the room independently, and one of them centered on a 4th and 5th figure, positioned next to each other in a far corner. The wooden target on the left was the image of a man with a detonator in his hand. Ding Chavez double-tapped this target in the forehead. A second light swept to the corner and illuminated the image of a beautiful young woman holding an infant in her right arm. In her left hand, low and partially hidden behind her leg, she held a long kitchen knife. Without a moment's hesitation, Dom Caruso shot the female target in the forehead. Seconds later, the call came from across the room.
Clear, Driscoll.
Clear, Caruso repeated. We're clear, Ding confirmed. John Clark stood from his chair in the center of the room, rubbing his eyes after catching the full intensity of 3 200-lumen tactical lights.
Make your weapons safe.
Each of the three operators thumbed the safety of his MP5s on and let his weapon hang freely from his chest. Together, the four men surveyed the holds in the five targets and then headed outside the room and checked the targets in the rooms off the hall. They stepped outside of the dark cabin where they stood together on the porch to stay out of the rain.
Thoughts, Ding?
Clark asked. Chavez said,
It was fair. It slowed things down when I had to catch up to the guys so we could stack up at the door. But anyway we roll this, if we want to breach with at least three operators, we're going to have to wait on the driver.
Clark conceded the point.
That's true. What else?
Caruso said,
When Ding and Sam engaged in the rooms off the hall, I was on my own out in the hall. I covered the space we hadn't cleared yet, which was the doorway at the end of the hall, but I couldn't help thinking it would have been nice to have one more man to check six. Any hostiles who entered from the outside would have had an open shot at the back of my head. I kept my head on a swivel, but it's not the same as having another gun in the fight.
Clark nodded.
We are a small force.
Smaller now without Jack Jr.,
Dom Caruso added. Driscoll said,
We might want to think about bringing someone new into the unit.